The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
You know what? We're going to read it together today. Amen. And this is the Good News Translation, because I come with good news today. Amen. The Lord said to me, go down to the potter's house where I will give you my message. So I went there and saw the potter working at his wheel. Whenever a piece of pottery turned out imperfect, he would take the clay and make it into something else. Then the Lord said to me, don't I have the right to do with you, people of Israel, what the potter did with the clay? You are in my hands, just like clay in the potter's hand. You can have a seat, and I'm going to read the King James Version. I think I'm just old school. I just love King James, but I had to go to the good news because he said go to the good news. Amen. So to being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I did. And then I wanted to also read the Jeremiah 18:1-6, King James. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went to the potter's house, and behold, he walked a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And our lesson for today, you are in my hands, said the Lord. You are in my hand. And I'm trying to see if they can get the picture up, but if they can't, I'm gonna roll with it anyway. Amen. Because we're going to look at the potter, the clay, and his hand and the wheel. Amen. So you see the hand, that's the potter. The clay, that's us. And then a little long later, you're going to see the wheel. And we are just like that clay. If we are children of God, we are clay in his hands. Amen. So the word came to Jeremiah, and the word came to Jeremiah. God spoke. And he said something to Jeremiah. He said, arise and go to the potter's house. It is very important, when there is a word from God, that we answer the call. And we hear a lot of words. We quote a lot of people words. The president said, and this expert said, and that expert said. But when is the last time you stood and said, the word said, and I'm standing on the word? Well, Jeremiah got a word from God. Now, the thing with the word said, the Lord said to Jeremiah, in order to receive the message, I need you to rise up and go. I need you to shift position. And when he asked us to shift, sometimes it's uncomfortable because it's usually a part A, B, C. He may not give you the whole picture. All he said to Jeremiah was, arise and go. Go where? To the potter's house. Why? I'll tell you when you get there. If you go and go now, there I will cause you to hear my word. I'm not going to give you the word where you are, because there's something that I need you to do before I deliver the message. I need you to get up. And God is requiring us to rise. And when you rise, you got to do something. And so I said, Lord, I want to jump right to the potter. He said, No. You got to pause and park in a rise, because I'm requiring something from you. You're waiting. You keep saying you're waiting on me. And God said, no, I'm waiting on you to get up. Get up out of the position that you're in so I can show you some things. So arise, Genesis 13 and 17. Arise and walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. This is what he was saying to Abraham, who was back then called Abram. He said, arise and walk. What I want you to do, I want you to arise and walk. And as and from one length of a field, from one end to the other, as you walk, I want you to know I'm going to give you everything you see, but I need you to walk it. Then the next one, he said, in Genesis 19 and 15, and when the morning arose, that the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity. This is just when it was about to happen with Sodom and Gomorrah. And before it began to burn, the angel said, Lot, I need you to arise and take your wife, take your daughters, and I need you to hasten out of this place. Because if you pause too long, you're going to be consumed. Not because I wanted to consume you, but you're going to be consumed because of your disobedience. And he hastened. There's some, when God speak, not when somebody else speak, but when God speak, you need to hasten to do it. Because we want God, when we speak, to hasten to perform. He said, no. I need you to haste. I need you to jump up. I need you to get up. I've got something to say, and I can't say it where you are. Well, I have a problem with that. It's okay. I'm still saying, get up and walk. Get up and take. I need you to get up. Lot. First King 19 and 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. This is when it was Elijah. He had done a great battle with destroying all the idols, over 800. It was a showdown between God and the false idol. And after he had done all of this thing, Jezebel said she's going to take him out. I don't care how great you are, man of God, who prophesied and declared, thus said the Lord. I mean, he called down fire from on high. And after it consumed the fire and the wood and the sacrifice, he called down and God heard his cry and consumed it. And he said, choose you today whom you're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. This was the great man of God. But after it happened, Jezebel said, I'm going to take you out. She said, I declare I'm going to take him out. And he ran, the man of God who had defeated over 800 idols. The man of God ran, and he said, God, take my life. Got him hiding under a tree after he had won a victory. He had not been defeated, you mind you. It was after a victory the enemy showed up. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord came, touched him while he was asleep, and said, arise and eat. Why? He said, my work is done. Take my life. You don't get to tell the potter when your life is over. You don't get to tell God when it's over. God tells you when it's over. He said, oh, Elijah, rise and eat. He went to him one time, laid back down. So this verse here is actually, it said, and the angel of the Lord came to him a second time and touched him. Who need a touch? Oh, it's one thing to get a touch from everybody else. But when you get a touch from above, and it's a touch of love. I know you're tired. Know you're worn out. You just fought a great battle for me. But I need you to get up and eat. Because the journey that I have for you to do before I take you out, before I call you home, is great. He says, so eat, for the journey is great. There's sometimes we're going on fumes, and God says, I need you to stop and eat. I need you to get strength, because you thought you faced the devil with Jezebel. He said, there is a work that I need you to do, so I need you to eat, so you can finish your course. Arise and eat. And then Jesus, in Matthew 17:7, Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. On the mountain of Confederation, they had an encounter, and he took Peter, James, and John. And when they saw the manifestation that took place, they were afraid, and Jesus touched them and said, be not afraid. Arise, be not afraid. I need you to get up. We can't stay on the mountaintop. I need you to get up. Arise and be not afraid. And then I couldn't help but leave out this one, Luke 15:18, the prodigal son, when he came to himself. This Jesus didn't say it. The angels didn't say it. This is a servant who had gone astray. And he said, when I came to myself, I said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against thee and before thee. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just make me a servant. I'm willing to acknowledge that I messed up. Arise and go. And I said, God, thank you. And he said, I want you to understand that there is a call to answer the call for obedience. And he said, ask them, will they answer the call? Some will say yes. Some will say no. And others will say, I need more data. I just need a little bit more information before I can step out. I need a little bit more. I hear you, God. I know it's you talking. But I need a little bit more to step out. And he said, tell them for me, I'm only going to give them what they can handle at the moment. But if they walk toward where I'm taking them, I'll talk to them while they're walking. And some of us have missed it because we're sitting in the same spot. You know, like the man at the pool, he sat there for 30-something years waiting for the move. And finally, Jesus said, arise. Take up that bed and walk. Get up. Arise. And I'm telling you, in order for you to possess what God wants us to have this year, we're going to have to get up out of that old mindset that we used to do. You got to be willing to shift. You got to be willing to shift. You can't think the same way. You can't respond the same way. You have to make up in your mind, I'm going to do it for God, and whatever the consequences, I'm willing to face it, because obedience is better than anything you can sacrifice. Obedience. I need you to hasten to do it. And when you do, there is a word from God. And so now let's go back to Jeremiah and look at what has happened here with the potter and the wheel. And he said, I will arise and go. And I went to the potter's house, and what did I see? Verse 3 said, and I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he walked the work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter. And let's pause right there and let's look at the, flip it to the, this is what Jeremiah saw when he went to the potter's house. I want you to look at it. He saw the potter and he was working on the wheel. And then he saw the clay that was being molded by the potter. So you got the potter, you got the hand, you got the clay, got a little bit of water in case it get a little hard to make it pliable. And then at the bottom, you have the wheel. And Jeremiah said, I saw all of this. And then God spoke. God wanted Jeremiah to see what he could not see where he was. I need you to go to Kroger. I don't know where to do. I just had to get up and I just went to Kroger's. And then while you are in there shopping, trying to get you, do I need two eggs? Do I need two cartons of egg? One? Or do I need milk? Do I need butter? No, go down this lane. And I went down the lane and there it is, a young lady standing in the aisle, tears running down her face. And I said, I really don't have time. I got to run. He said, I just need you to pause for a moment. Is all well? No, all is not well. What I just want you to know, I'm on my way to get some eggs, but I just want you to know that there is a God. And he does hear and answer prayer. And I want you to know that in all the universe, God calls me to go down this aisle so that I could meet you to give you a word that said it's going to be all right. God said it's going to be all right. But you don't know what I'm going through. God does. And he said, I'm going to make it all right. But the problem here is if we don't stop long enough to get up. And he said, I'll show you when you get there. But you have to get up in order to receive it, in order to see. And so he asked the question, what do you see in the potter's house? What do you see? If you don't see anything, could it be that you're in the wrong spot? You're at Kroger's in North College Hill, and he said, I wanted you in Hyde Park. I ain't going over to Hyde Park. Well, it's up all my gas. And those people don't need anything. I'm not going to Hyde Park. I know, but I said go to Hyde Park. So while you are debating, somebody's soul is hanging in the balance. Should I take my life? Or should I live another day? And he wants to use you, and you to bring a word. Everybody isn't going to stand up here. This is not the great moment. The great moment is when he calls you and you answer. I mean, really answer and say yes. And while he was working, I just want you to say, while he was working on the wheel, the potter noticed there was some imperfection in the clay, not in the potter now. The potter is all together. It was the clay that has some imperfection. And so the potter said to himself, I'm gonna have to make something else out of this. Because there's some imperfection in the clay. I said, God, what are you saying? He said, tell them. I see the flaws in their character. I see it. I'm not like the pastor. I'm not like this one or that one. I have eyes that run. See, unlike us, we sit, but his eyes run to and from throughout the earth. He said, I tell them I see it all. I see when you're nice, and I see when you're cruel. I see when you're kind, and I see when your attitude is not becoming of the saint of the Most High God. He said, tell them I see you. And I've come if you allow me to. There's some part in your character that I need to put on back on the wheel. Because the things that I want to do with you, I gotta take that out. Because it's going to hinder the work. It's going to hinder what I want to be the finished product. And so I'm asking you, can I put you back on the wheel? Because I see some stuff that I, as the potter, am not pleased with. Now, we don't have to debate it, said the Lord. I'm not asking you, do you have character flaws? I'm not asking you, have you offended someone this week? I am saying, I know. I know what you have done. I've seen what you have said. I'm asking, can I put you on the wheel? And I need to do a work. I got to do it. Now, you're going to try to do it, but it's not going to come out. The design is not going to come out the way I want it to be. See, you want to be a tall vessel, but I got you as a little round one, a little round small one. I want you to be a cup, but you want to be a huge pitcher. But there's a problem with the story. I keep hearing the clay telling the potter what to do. And he said, the problem with this is I am not your, you are not my God. I am yours, however. I am whatever you need me to be, but I am God and I dictate. I can stop you and you can't make a move. I can breathe through you and you can walk. Or I can say pause, and even if you want to walk, I can cause your body that you can't even move. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. Because I am God. And I need to get your attention because I got a work that I need to do. Will you let me do it? Said the potter. Will you let him do it? Will you let the potter do it? And so then, after all of this showing to Jeremiah, the word came from the Lord. Now, you got to remember, from verse 1 to verse 4, God had only said, arise and go. All that stuff in between was Jeremiah's observation. He saw the potter, he saw the wheel, he saw the clay, he saw the working. He was a bystander watching something in action. But he had firsthand experience because he was there. He said, stop telling somebody I was in need. And I said, God, I need something. And I'm telling you, when I got in church this morning, someone grabbed me by the hand and said, I just want to bless you. And when they blessed me, I said, this is none other than the hands of God. I had not talked with the person. I had a little talk with Jesus. Oh, and I told him all about it. And when I wasn't looking, the person came up and blessed me. Had no idea what the message was. Had no idea what I was in need of. Had no idea. But God provided. And out of his obedience, God blessed me. And because of his obedience, God's going to doubly bless him. Just because he did it. Some things we're waiting. God said, tell them if they would just do it. He said, I know you think that's a Nike commercial thing. He said, but they stole it from me. I said, do it. I'm the one who say, do it. Just do what I said. You understand yes, you understand no, you understand go, and you understand stop. Go. Stop. Speak. Shut up. Stand. Sit. I'm not talking to my little goddaughter who's four. He said, tell them, even the four-year-old will know how to stop and go. He said, I need you to go someplace to bless somebody else. And while you are blessing somebody else, I'll take care of you. I will provide for you, said the Lord. I will provide. And so the scripture then says, back to Jeremiah 18, verse 5, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And this is what he said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And the good news says, don't I have the right, O people of Israel, to do with you like the clay? I mean, God is asking, he said, you know, everybody got rights, right? I got a right to speak. I got a right to tell my thoughts. I got a right to do this. I got a right. God said, last time I checked, I'm God. Do I not have the right to do with you like the potter does to clay? Mold it, shape it. Don't like what he see some imperfection, put it back on the wheel and do it the way he wants. He said, stop telling me how to do my job. I know what I made you to be. You're resisting the working. Let me do the work. But you're going to have to yield. You're going to have to surrender. And place yourself in the potter's hand. He said, I promise you, I'll take good care of you. I've had many in my hands before. And I want to shape you into something beautiful. Will you let me? Will you let me? And so we conclude with in the hands. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Luke 23:46. He said, after Jesus has done everything that the Father had told them, he said, Father, I commend my spirit into your hands. When is the last time you surrender your life into the hands of God? He really does have a better plan. Because he said in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Plans to prosper and not harm. Plans to give you a hope and a future. For I know
the plan. He didn't say he was thinking. He didn't say he might can do it. He said, I know the plans I have in store for every one of you in here. I'm just waiting for you to release yourself into my hands. Will you do it? Will you allow God to work his will in you and work your will out of you so that you can be used by the master? I don't know if you will remember it, but Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he looked in a cup. Oh, it was a bitter cup, because he saw my sin, your sin, everybody else's sin. And it was sure a bitter cup. He says, Father, if it be your will, can you take this cup from me? And then he paused and he thought about me. He said, Lord, if I get down, she'll never make it. So you got to put yourself in, and then it makes it more personable. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. What was he saying? He said, tell them there's some things that you've been crying and praying and asking me to get you out of. He said, tell him I got some news. I'm not going to get you out. But I'm going to give you strength to walk through it. Because when you come out, you're going to be able to bless and help somebody else. He said, there's some things I'm not going to take you out of. He could have taken Jesus out and didn't allow him to go to the cross, but it would have canceled the whole salvation plan. And because of that, Jesus said, not my will. God said, there's some things I want to take from you, but I can't take it because I need you to be humble when you get to your next station. And you're not going to be humble unless you go through some struggles and know how it feels to climb and then fall. Then you won't be so judgmental and so hard on somebody who messes up, because you'll have some compassion, because he was compassionate towards you. He says, so tell them I'm strengthening them to do the work. And I'm not going to take them out, but I give them strength. You remember the song at the beginning? The blood. Oh, we say it reaches. But I want to talk to the prophet about the blood that gives me strength from day to day. And the psalmist said, it will never, ever lose its power, the blood. Or it was a reason he had it. I didn't know why he was taking me that way with the song, but thanks be to the flow of the Spirit this morning. I want to give you strength so that you can stay on the potter's wheel and do what I need to do in you so you can be a messenger of hope. Amen. And then Mark 16 and 19 said, and so after that, the Lord has spoken unto them, and he received them up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand. Do you know who's at the right hand? Jesus is sitting at the right hand. He's at the right hand of power. He's got us in his hand. You know, we sing this song, he's got the whole world. Oh, in his hand. He's got the whole world. Oh, in his hand. He's got the whole world. Oh, in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me. In his hand, he's got you and me. In his hand, he's got you and me. In his hand, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world. In his hand, he's got the whole world. In his hand, he's got the whole world. In his hand, he's got the whole world in his hand. He said, if I have the whole world in my hand, why won't you trust me? He said, if I got you in the palm of my hand, and I promise you, there's some people who have you in the hand, they're going to let you fall, but I promise you, I'll be there. And if you fall in my hand, I'll give you power and strength and pick you back up again. The righteous fall 7 times, but he restored them. Get back up again. Get back up again. What are you going to do? Get back up again. Because God is with you and me. I feel my help. I feel my help. And so the final scripture, Isaiah 64, 8 and 9. And it was just a blessing. I said, Lord, am I going to have time to do it all? He said, don't worry about it. It's in my hand. Then I got here and then I put the PowerPoint, I put it in one thing, it didn't put it in the right one. And he said, don't worry about it. It's in my hand. Then I got here and then this and that was going on. And I said, God, what about this? And he said, oh, don't worry about it. It's in my hand. He's got the whole world in his 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 hand. Tiffany, he's got you and me in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. Oh, tell them, I got him. I got you. You know how your road buddy say, girl, I got you. I got you. Call my girlfriend from 40 plus years. And if I just call her, she say, oh, Cynthia, I got you. Whatever you need, hey. If I got it, it's yours. Whatever you need, I got it. Now, if my friend of 40 plus years, we walked together, we cried together, we prayed together, we have lost and stood at the casting of my mother and father together. And she said, I'll be with you until the end. But there's some roads that I'm going to cross, and only Jesus going to take me on. Oh, I got a husband. He's good. But when I get ready to cross over to the other side, I need the hand of God and say, come on over. I got you. I got you. And that's what he's saying to us. I got you. I have you. I got you, Sister Burton. Oh, they don't see, but I see it. And I got you. You know, in the midnight hours, I got you. You know, at midday, 12 o'clock in the middle of the day, I got you. As you walk this road called life, I got you. And here is the final scripture. But you are my Father, Lord. But you are our Father, Lord. We are like clay, and you are like the potter. You created us, so do not be too angry with us or hold our sins against us forever. Why? Because we are your people. And all we're asking you is be merciful to us. When is the last time you asked God to be merciful to you? And then that same mercy that you asked God to be toward you, he said, I need you to take that same mercy and be merciful towards somebody else. I got you in my hand, said the Lord. He's got the whole world. Oh, in his hand, he's got the whole world. Oh, in his hand, he's got the whole world. Oh, in his hand, he's got the whole world in his hand. Oh, he's got the whole world. Oh, in his hand, he's got the whole world. Ah, in his hand, he's got the whole world in his hand. Now, you know who would sing this with me? My little four-year-old. Ah, we get together and I said, he's got the whole world. She said, ah, in his hand, he's got the whole world. Ah, in his hand, he's got the whole world. Ah, in his hand, he's got the whole world in his hand. When is the last time that God got an awe out of you? Ah! Ah! Look what God did. Ah! Look what my Savior did. Oh, you know, I got to tell somebody what God did. Because he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. Ah, he's got the whole world in his hand. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. I've come with power and with strength. And I've got you in the palm of my hand. Just let me do what I do best, which is make beautiful vessels of honor, said the Lord. May heaven bless you. And remember, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world. Ah, in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.